الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات صدق الله العظيم. We were discussing how we should try to keep a proper, a correct roza. That is, after doing the farais, which is with niyat of roza, fasting, we stay away from food, drink, and satisfying our sexual desires. That will be called roza from sehri time, subah sadiq, until sunset. A person who abstains from that. But that is the basics of roza, by which our faras will be fulfilled. But to get the benefit, like if a person is doing business, he buys at 5 rand and sells at 5 rand, he is doing business, but he's not making a profit. He'll be out of business before anything. So the profit that we have to keep a complete roza, which our ulama have written that kutiba alaykum as-siyam, rozas have been made faraz upon you. That is upon every part of the body as well. So we discussed about roza of the tongue, then the roza of the eyes, of the ears, of our thoughts, the heart and the mind, and also roza of the stomach. The food that we put in should be halal, halalan tayyiba. And also the method of eating should be also correct. That is when you'll get the benefit. And then 1/6 point, inshallah, we will discuss today. If we keep our rozas properly and it became a roza, a shield, then it will protect us. And we will be protected from gunas, from sins, forever. The whole month of Ramadan, the whole year also. If we looked after ourselves, like a motor car goes to the workshop. One friend of ours wrote today, this is not the AA workshop, this is the AH workshop. So if the car goes to the workshop and it was serviced properly, it's not going to stay in the workshop all the time. Just for the service, then it will come out and it will be used on all types of roads. Everywhere it will be used. So we also for our not only service but an overall. 5 times a day we come for service. Ramzan is for complete overall of the car, of our body. So if the service is done properly, the work is done properly, then inshallah for the rest of the year and by next year's overall even more better. And then when a person carries on like that, when finally Eid will come, that will be his real Eid. As Maulana Inamul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali said, if we live our lives like the month of Ramadan, our mort will come like Eid for us. So the month of Ramadan is the, our whole year be like that. And every year we improving. What an Eid for such a person. May Allah bless us all. So the sixth thing that we have to also keep roza about, and that is our attitude after fasting. That we must have worry. Is my roza accepted or not? And this is not only what fasting, but what all our ibadah. My Ustad Hafiz Muhammad Sallu Sahib Rahmatullah Ali of Germiston used to say that when we have made our namaz, we are happy namaz is made. But who of us has the concern whether my namaz is accepted or not? That is the important thing. If it is accepted in the court of Allah, a person must have that concern for it. Like if we make an application for anything, a passport, a visa, a license, anything, just submitting our application and we're happy now. Then my work is done. No, you have just made the application. Whether now you'll get your passport, you'll get your visa, your license, whatever, that is important. So our namaz is our application. And after making an application, a person engages in dua then. So we have to beg of Allah Tabaraka Ta'ala for acceptance. And our amal can never be according to the level which it has to be by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So we have no choice but to cry and beg of Allah ta'ala. We say that the greatest teacher or in the world that ever came was Sayyidina Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The greatest student that ever was Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And the greatest ibadat of all is namaz salat. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu to make namaz. Such an ustad, how perfectly he must have taught. Such a student, how perfectly he must have learned. And such a thing, namaz is being taught, how lot of importance must have been given to it. But yet, at the end, the masnoon dua, many of us read other dua, Allahumma ghfirli wa li walidayya, before making salam in namaz. But the masnoon dua is, Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira. Oh Allah, I've done a wrong, a very great wrong to myself. In namaz is no wrong. Namaz, what an ibadah, the greatest form of ibadah. But here at the end, that I've done a great wrong to myself. Why? Because we can never fulfill the rights of Allah. No matter what type of namaz we make, Allah is beyond everything. To understand that, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali gave a beautiful example that you have a glass, water in a glass, and water in a jug from where you pour the water into the glass. The water of the jug can never fit into the glass. The glass is too small. And the water from a bucket you pour into the jug. The water of the jug can never fit into the of the bucket can never fit into the jug. The water in the bucket comes from the reservoir. How lot of water in the reservoir? That can it ever fit in a bucket? It can't. The water in the reservoir comes from a dam, a river. The water of the river can never fit in the reservoir. Finally, the water of the sea, where will it? So Allah, who is unlimited, the sea is also limited finally. Rivers are limited, dams are limited, all the water of the world put together, how much water, but it's limited. So how can it fit into anything else? So Allah, who is unlimited, and we who are limited in every way, our eyesight is limited, our thinking is limited, our showing love is limited, our begging of forgiveness is limited, we are totally limited. So how can he who is unlimited, how can the one who is limited fulfill his rights? So we have to endeavor to make the best. And there is only one way, and Allah is that being who is Kareem also, who is Rahim also, who is Haleem also. So Allah will accept. So anyway, and also that our namazes, and it's from here we should learn a lesson for everything else also. Our namazes are really not fit to be accepted in the court of Allah Ta'ala. Even if we perform a perfect namaz, because Allah's rights, His greatness is beyond where all men together can even. When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself declared, Ma abadnaka haqqa ibadati. We have not worshipped you as you should be worshipped. In fact, Ma arafnaka haqqa ma'arifati. We have not recognized you as you should be recognized. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam declared that, where are we? We are absolutely nowhere. But Allah Ta'ala is Arhamur Rahimeen, the most, most merciful. Allah is, Inna Allaha la yudhi'u ajr al muhsineen. Those who want to do good, the doers of good, Allah does not destroy their reward. Also one meaning of that is, those who have got ihsan, their amal is accepted. Those who have got ihsan, their ikhlas is of that level. Their tawadu is of that level. And Allah does not destroy their ibadat. Is 100% accepted by Allah Ta'ala. But Allah Ta'ala has given us our namaz which we perform. So Allah, we could never make that namaz as it's supposed to be. And Allah doesn't want to destroy our efforts also. Allah wants to reward us. And namaz is solely for the remembrance of Allah. Aqimi salata li dhikri. Perfect your namaz solely for my remembrance, Allah has declared. But Allah Ta'ala himself in the teaching of namaz has put durood sharif in namaz also. And in At-Tahiyyat also, which we read, As-Salamu Alayka Ayyuhan Nabi, we are sending salam. And after, in the second rakat, in the At-Tahiyyat position, the Shahud, we read Allahumma salli, after the At-Tahiyyat, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, Allahumma barik ala Muhammad. Now naturally a person's thoughts will go to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But namaz was supposed to be only for Allah. So why did Allah put salawat, durood, in namaz? That Allah, that durood is that ibadat that Ibn Abidin Shami rahmatullah alayhi writes, As-salatu ala nabi mustajabun qatta. That salawat, durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 100% accepted in the court of Allah ta'ala. So, durood sharif, salawat, if a person even reads it for show, which is wrong, he shouldn't, but it is also accepted. No matter how a person reads durood sharif, salawat, it is accepted by Allah ta'ala. In fact, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu should tell people that with your du'as, read durood sharif, salawat. It will make your du'as accepted. Otherwise, your du'as also just lie in between the earth and the heavens. But durood sharif will take it and make it accepted by Allah ta'ala. Our Shaykh, Hadrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, rahimullah, should say, Gar salli ala naho zuba par. If there isn't salawat, durood on the tongue, to kya athar hoga aho fuga mein. What effect will there be in the crying and the sobbing of a person in the court of Allah ta'ala? If a person cries, Maulana Abdul Ghani Phulpuri rahmatullah alayhi used to say that when a person cries in his du'as, etc., this is a receipt from Allah, your du'a is accepted. Like you make a payment for something, you get a receipt, proof of payment. That I did make my payment, here's my proof, I got my receipt. So the tears are proof of acceptance by Allah ta'ala. And every person can't cry. Even a person who cries can't cry all the time. And Allah is Arhamur Rahimeen. So Allah ta'ala gave us Durood Sharif. That by reading Durood Sharif, it isn't only an ordinary receipt, so to say an audited receipt. The auditor gives this receipt. One is you give the receipt, one is not your bookkeeper, the auditor. He gives the receipt. That was how much more. So Durood Sharif is an audited receipt that your ibadat, your du'as are accepted. So like in namaz also, Allah kept Durood. Hadrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says, wuzu is not complete until a person reads Durood Sharif. So we should try and read with all our ibadat. Make sure Durood Sharif is part of it. That will take it to acceptance. Durood Sharif is like we have breakdown services. Here in South Africa, the AA service, all different in different countries. If your car breaks down on the road and you are a member of them, you phone them, they come and help you. They sort you out, they get you back onto the road. So Durood Sharif, wherever you get stuck, it is that that service. It will come and it will tow you and take you into acceptance, your du'as into acceptance of Allah Ta'ala. Durood Sharif is like the tug at the airport. The plane is so full now, goods are in. How many passengers? But it can't take off. That small tug comes, such a small thing. It takes it, pushes it and puts it on the runway. And then from there now the plane will speed up, take off and fly 10,000 kilometers, 15,000 kilometers. But what put it on its course? The tug. That small little tug. The same way ships at a dock, when they come in, they don't, the pilot of the ship, he doesn't know all the things there, or how the waters are, where there are blockages, boulders, whatever. The tug, he knows properly. He brings the ship in. And then what goods are delivered, how many passengers come out. And when the ship has to go again, the tug takes it again. Then it will sail all the oceans and take passengers from where and where and take goods from where and where. This is the work of Durood Sharif. So Durood Sharif Allah has put that our ibadat must be accepted. So inshallah we have hope Allah will accept inshallah. And try and read Durood Sharif all the time and with all our ibadat. But anyway, this is the attitude a person must have. That Ya Allah, I could not fool. After you made your full effort for Ramadan, you try and kept a full, proper, perfect roza, your ibadat, your tilawat, your tahajjud, your zikr, your faraz namazes, your jamaat, all your namazes, everything. But at the end, oh Allah, I've done a wrong, great wrong to my... This Allah loves very much. And where pride comes in a person, a holier than thou attitude comes in a person, this is extremely dangerous. Allah dislikes that person. One beautiful poem, the poet, a great wali of Allah says, Naaze taqwa se phir achhi hai niyaze randi. Naaze taqwa se, that means a person got taqwa muttaqi. What a great thing to be a muttaqi. But that taqwa brought pride in him, naaz. That I'm better than others. Naaze taqwa se phir achhi hai niyaze randi. Randi, a prostitute, a woman who sells herself, well, she realizes herself also, I'm doing a terrible wrong. What a thing I'm doing. For whatever reason, necessity, whatever it is, but she feels guilty. She's crying to Allah. In other words, it shows you do the worst crime in guna, but you feel guilty and you ask for forgiveness. That is better than the biggest ibadah, taqwa, but pride with it. In other words, it shows that how terrible pride is. So if we have kept rozas, mashallah, brothers have spent 40 days, 30 days, 20, most of us 10 days, but if this brings pride in us, that the other people, my friends, etc., they didn't sit for etikaf. They didn't even keep rozas. Not to keep a beard is a very big guna. It's a guna, a big guna. And while we are on that subject also, it is important because we notice that many, many, even learned people, for little deficiency, the beard is not incomplete. So we'll just discuss that little bit. The beard, to keep a sunnat beard, not just a beard, a sunnat beard, this is wajib. Wajib is in the status of faraz. Only in the proofing of it. The proof of it is not as strong as the proof for a faraz. So it can't be declared a faraz. But it is of the same status. In other words, the calculating method is different. But the result is the same. It is faraz. But it is called wajib to keep according to all four imams. We should not be bluffed by people who say that Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi has got a different view or somebody. All four imams. A full beard, which is a first length. And the first length also, our Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi says it so beautifully, your own first. You don't call, when you want to trim your beard, you don't call your two-year-old child. Or the barber's two-year-old boy, and you say, please come check my beard if it is a first length or not. No, your own first. And don't measure it from here under your lip here. Then also it will be a very small. From under the chin. Everyone know what's the chin and can feel the chin. From there it must be a first length. And it must be on all three sides. Even on this side, Allah shukar, our beard don't grow like this. Otherwise when we should go home, the wife should run out from the other door. That which beast, which animal is coming here. And also it's very important to keep the beard neat. My Shaykh rahmatullah alayhi one time said, the beard has got three orders, hukam, duties that we have to fulfill of the beard. One is taghseel, we should wash it regularly. One is tadheen, put oil. And one is tashmeet, comb it also. And keep your beard, Maulana. Mashallah, Masihullah sahab rahmatullah alayhi was very particular about this. That don't let your beard just be like wild and you don't care. Regularly, wash it also. Oil it also and comb it also. So anyway, so on the side, but when you want to trim your hair, then take your beard like this and see if it's a first length or not. What is more than a first length that a person should cut? Leave a little bit for safety's sake. But basically it must be a first length. Also, that's the length of it. And don't keep it so long also, like Salafis do or like the Jews do. They keep their beards very long. And that is also not the way of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaat. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali was giving a bayan in Bombay and there was one Haji Sahib whose beard was right till his navel. So when he had to go for istinja, for number one, he had to put his beard under his armpits. Otherwise the beard will become napak while he's doing his istinja. So it shouldn't be so long. Sayyidina Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to take his beard at one first length And he used to say that this is how Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do. Keep his beard one first length, that is. So that is the length of the beard. And the area that it has to cut. Many of us make a mistake in this also. We don't keep it a first length. We just keep it as a beard. But it's not a proper sunnat beard. The example of that is like some important work you had to get done. You had to fill in your form and you had to stand in the queue the whole day. In the hot sun, in the rain, in the cold. And when you came to the window to hand in your application form, then it wasn't signed. Or you didn't put your ID number. Or you didn't date it. Rejected. There you can go back tomorrow again. So yeah, also you kept the beard, but it wasn't of the required, how it's required to be. It must not happen, it gets rejected in the qabr. And if it's rejected, there you can't come back to go and fix it up again. So let us fix it up now. So the length of it must be one, your own first length, and from under your chin. And then on the two sides also. Then the area it has to cover, that is also very important. It must cover the area also. The area it has to cover, the word beard in Arabic is lahya. And lahya comes from the lower jaw, that is called lahya, your lower jaw. In Urdu, Gujarati also, dari, dhar, from dhar. That is the lower jaw. So if you open your mouth and you can feel your lower jaw, all that area must be covered. Outwardly, a very simple way to gauge it is where your lips meet and to the front of your side burn to that area. That is what is the beard. Where we make mistakes here, for example, Arabs keep the beard, the area they cover properly, but the length they keep very short. A French beard is just a little bit here. A pencil line beard is just a little bit. Other people make other mistakes. So with the trimming of the beard, sometimes we go more lower and we go down below the limit also. So then that is, so it's not correct. Many people have got beards, learned people, but the beard is not as it is required to be. It must be from the where the lips meet and going to the front of the side board here. That area must be covered. If it is not done, if it's gone less, then that beard won't be complete also. It won't be called a beard. Just like in America, the fried chicken, Kentucky fried chicken, by law there was a court case that was fought, and they are not allowed to advertise it now as fried chicken. It's only now Kentucky fries. But the chicken, because the chicken, though it's like a chicken, but by law, they found it, the way they grow it, and mass production, and so quick, they doesn't grow like a chicken. So it's supposed to be a chicken, but it's not a chicken. The court declared that it's not a chicken. So if Allah's court has to declare that it isn't a beard, it's like a beard, but it's not a beard, we will be in problems. So we should take our precaution. So it should be that area, that is from the front here. And also, alhamdulillah, we offer a free service to check anyone's beard. You can see in your own mirror also, but usually, al-mu'min, mir'atul mu'min. That mirror is not, you still don't see your own wrong. But when your friend, ask your friend to check, is my beard right? And we also offer a free service. And alhamdulillah, many, many brothers corrected their beards and kept it correctly. Yeah, the bottom, the inside, the beard, the ruling is the hair grows here also. That hair which grows with the beard, to remove that hair is not permissible. The hair that grows away from the beard at the bottom, that is. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali gives this example. Like in a war, Pakistan is at war with India. And the soldier who runs away from his group, he runs away separate. He is to be shot in the back. He is a traitor. But that soldier that stays with the group, you protect him. So that hair that stays with the beard, that must be looked after. But the hair that runs away, that is at the bottom, that you can shoot it in the back. You can remove that hair, there is permission. And yeah, on the cheek is permission. It's not for us to remove the hair. But, and especially young boys, until they are not married, they should rather not remove this hair. But when you are married, then remove it. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali should say, allow landing rights for your wife's kisses also on your cheek. If you cover it all up, where must she kiss you now? Then she's left with your nose to kiss you on. So she wants to kiss you on your cheek, so allow landing rights for her kisses to land there also. So on the cheek it is permitted that you remove the hair that's not part of the beard. And that it must be one first length is from the Quran Sharif. Where Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's brother said, La ta'khudh bi lihyati. Don't catch me by my beard. That means what your first you catch. So it has to be a first length which you catch. If it's less than that, then you won't be able to catch that beard. And when you want to really shake up somebody, you catch him by his beard and you shake him up. That is also only possible if it's a first length. So it should be a first length. And preferably, it shouldn't be more. And then the baby beard, this little baby, and it's a very funny baby beard. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, that whole life it remains a baby. It doesn't grow up. And this baby beard, like babies, got a tendency that they come and it curves and it comes in your mouth. Like when you're eating, your baby puts his finger in your mouth also. So you don't bite off his finger. All you do is nicely, you take out his finger from your mouth and you put it one side. So the hair that goes inside, don't cut it off also. What oil, what water, and it's very, very, it listens very quickly also, very obedient. Just little bit and it comes right. So just make little effort and you'll see it will come right again. So this beard we should keep properly in this way, the proper sunnat beard. It is the shi'ar of Islam. The sign of Islam and the shi'ar of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. This is by which Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah will be recognized outwardly by the proper sunnat beard. May Allah give us tawfiq inshallah. So anyway, we were talking on this. If a person has got a proper beard, which is a great thing, a great ibadah, and also while we are on the subject, if you don't keep a beard, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said, and what spurs me on to speak on this this malfuz of Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, that if a person shaves his beard completely, it's a big guna, guna-i kabira, and a person who keeps a full beard but one extent of one rice grain less than what it's supposed to be, whether it is in the length or whether it is in the area it has to cover, both the gunas are the same. It is like you're not keeping a beard, you have shaved your complete beard. So concern of our brothers that we mustn't be in the queue and finally we find, now may Allah save us all, that it is rejected. And of course those whose beard don't grow, that is of course an exception. Those who don't grow full, it just grows a little bit, one or two hair, those are all exceptions, that there is nothing wrong with that. But those who grow, we should keep it like that. So, keeping the beard. So if a person keeps a proper full beard and somebody else is not keeping a beard and this person looks down on that person, that you don't even keep a beard, etc., that is worse than not, that guna is worse than shaving your beard completely. To look down. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, what a great buzurg, what a great Allah wala in fiqh, what was his position? Mufti Azam of India, the great Mufti of India, he says himself that when he was, and he told us himself, he was in Darulum Jawman teaching, some student had done something wrong who had contact with Mufti Sahib. So Mufti Sahib reprimanded him quite severely. And perhaps he said, I went overboard in reprimanding him. The result of it, the next day, my Fajr namaz went. Mufti Sahib was regular with his tahajjud. Tahajjud also went. Fajr, not only qaza, but Fajr time also. Fajr namaz became qaza. So he cried to Allah, that, Ya Allah, what wrong have I done? Please forgive me. He realized that he overstepped his bound in reprimanding. That was his junior. He was the senior and he had every right. But there are also, as we are reading, etiquette and ways of doing it. He made lot of tawbah istighfar. The next day, he managed to get his fajr, but not with jamaat. He must jamaat namaz. He had to make his own fajr. The third day, he got it with jamaat. And after that, tahajjud also came back. So this is looking down upon somebody, having that holier than thou attitude. Yeah, we kept roza, and many, mashallah, some brothers, hopefully we will discuss it, perhaps today, whenever it will come in the cause, that they want to remove the TVs from the house. They feel the wife will get very angry. So if we feel that we no TV we had, there was no choice also for us, and if we couldn't see, we had no TV. If our phones, mashallah, one brother emailed, I replied him, got a reply that from his office, that I'll only reply after Ramzan now, after 29. So no contact with anyone on our phone. That is what we advised the brothers at the beginning, and I think later also, try not to have contact. That we came for i'tikaf, and i'tikaf means seclusion. And seclusion also, we are still in touch with the family properly, with our business properly. We're running our, today you run the world from the palm of your hand. From the phone, you do everything in the whole world. So if a person, mashallah, his reply came, that no contact now, no replies. Replies will come later. So if we are worried that we are not watching TV, we are not on the internet, and we think ourselves we have become pious, and the wife, she's very bad. She's the one who's my obstacle. She wants the TV, and we think I'm better than the wife. Then all our i'tikaf and our 40 days, whether we went in Jamaat, whether we went for Umrah, but we think we are better than somebody, then everything is washed away. So that attitude should not come. That is a very, very dangerous attitude. Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali says, فَإِنَّ بَعْضَ الْمُغْتَرِّينَ مِنَ الصُّوفِيَّةِ وَغَيْرِهِمْ Some people who are in total deception, dhoka. Deception means, I think I'm somebody, but I'm nothing. I think I'm I just put up four bamboo poles on the pavement, and I put some zinc, old zinc I found somewhere, put it on top, and I call it Hotel Paradise. I'm selling tea. This is very common in India and Pakistan. What names of the hotels, and just on the, and somebody thinks, oh, Hotel Paradise, or whatever, this hotel or that hotel. You're in a deception. You just made some money, you say, I'm the lion of Africa in business. There is nobody, but you hardly got a bank account. You hardly got a proper business, and you call yourself the lion of Africa. I'm the biggest business in the world, in the whole of Africa. So this is deception. So some people, Maulana Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali says, from amongst the Sufis and others besides them, they are in a great deception. In which way does deception? فَإِنَّ بَعْضَ الْمُغْتَرِّينَ مِنَ الصُّوفِيَّةِ وَغَيْرِهِمْ يُنْسِبُونَ كَمَالَاتِهِمْ إِلَى مُجَاهَدَاتِهِمْ They attribute whatever Allah has given them. Today you are like a big Sufi, you are genuine, you are a Sufi, and are genuine, you are a big alim, you are a big hafiz, qari, how you read, etc. Everything, you are a top mufti, but you attribute it to your own efforts. That I made effort, I did this, I did that. Your ustad's name doesn't come ever. By mistake also you don't say, my ustad, my parents taught me these habits, etc. My sheikh taught me, he made me what I am. You don't refer it to Allah. Somebody else's plagiarism, that it is all Allah's work, and you're passing it off that my work. So this is a big deception. يُنْسِبُونَ كَمَالَاتِهِمْ إِلَى مُجَاهَدَاتِهِمْ وَهَذَا عَيْنُ الْكُفْرَانِ This is actual and the height of nashukri, of being not being thankful to Allah Ta'ala. And nashukri, to be unthankful, in Arabic the word kufr is used. It's not the actual kufr, but the word kufr. And kufr actually means to cover up. That is what a farmer is also called in Arabic, a kafir. Because he puts a seed and he covers the seed up. So a Muslim woman is also called, a proper Muslim woman is also called a kafira, because she covers herself up properly. But that is what the language business. That if from a language point of view, of course not from the the technical meaning of what a kafir or kafira is. Na'uzubillah, you can't call these people. But anyway, so this is a person who covers up. So na shukri is called kufr because you're covering up the truth. Allah gave you that ni'mat. Your ustad made effort. Your mother taught you so many good habits. Your father taught. Today you say, I got good habits. Your mother taught you to say please always. To say jazakallah. Always your parents taught you. Today you say, alhamdulillah, I got this. You don't even say alhamdulillah. I got this good habit. I do this. No, always. And that person goes very far. Who always attributes the source. And from where I got this, who my ustads, you refer to your ustads. That ustad who taught you, alif ba ta tha. If he didn't teach you, you should never come to Bukhari Sharif. You should never become Hafiz of Quran. And today, no regard for them. We don't even make a dua by mistake for them also. Whenever we think of them, jireed, la ilaha illallah, pass this on. What a great sawab of la ilaha. More tawfiq, read 3 times kulu Allah. 1 time kulu Allah. Read 1 durood, just sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh Allah, pass this to my mother. When you think, my mother taught me this. My father taught me this. My father, he was poor. How lot effort he made for me. Then you read this and they enjoy. And they know exactly that who has sent it. And they make dua in return for you. So this is very, very important. So this holier than thou attitude is a very dangerous attitude. The people who go to what heights, and if shaitan, what was his problem? Holier than thou. Ana khairum minhu. I'm better than Adam alayhi salam. Where he had reached, it is said shaitan made so much ibadat that there wasn't a span of hand, that's the amount of a palm, anywhere on the earth where he did not make sajda to Allah. He has reached there where man has not even reached, and he made sajdas. He was such an alim that he knew the juziyat, that is the fine print of the shariats of every Nabi. Not only the main print, but the fine print, the footnotes, so to say. The fine print, the juziyat. And therefore, even an alim, even a mufti should not just give fatwas to anyone. Those muftis who are regularly seeing their kitabs, because they are juziyats which just clash with one another. And you're just looking at one aspect and you give your masala. A mufti who is regular, and especially in the matters of inheritance. There are so many things that one person is still alive, he cancels the share of another person. It's so intricate. Only a person, don't just look at the outward and just give a masala. Always refer this to such a mufti who is currently his kitabs, he's turning the pages and he's regular with it. To him, so shaitan knew the fine print also. He was such an arif of Allah. He recognized also Allah Ta'ala, that he knew that Allah's anger does not control Allah. We are such that when we become angry, anger controls us. When we become happy, happiness controls us. Then in our happiness also we do anything. At night you are so happy with your wife and you promised her what and what. In the morning she asks for all the things. You say, kalamul layl yamhuhun nahar. The talk of the night, the day rubs it out. That all cancelled. All that what I told you at night is all cancelled. Your happiness controls you. You don't realize what your bank balance, how much you have got, but what promises you made to her. So that is your happiness. Allah, nothing controls Allah. Allah is free of infial. That any qualities can control Allah. Anger can't control Allah Ta'ala. So shaitan knew Allah so well, that when Allah was so angry with him that he didn't listen to Allah in front of Allah. And lima khalaqtu bi yadayya, what I had made with my own hand. In other words, the best of my creation you refuse to make to that sajda, my command. So he said that, anzirni ila yawmi yubathun. Ya Allah, give me time till the day of Qiyamah. Lu'ughwiyannahum, I will misguide them. La'atiyannahum min bayni aydihim wa min khalfihim, I'll come from the right and I'll come from the back. I'll come from all sides, temptations. What temptations I will put. From there, one other point, a little bit that I remember now, we'll just go off a little bit, that one ayat we read recently in the Quran Sharif, 24 Supara, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَا تَسْمَعُوا لِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. The kuffar, they didn't want people to hear, because Quran has got magic effect. how it changes her. Allahu Akbar, Quran has got real, what effect? So they knew that don't let the people hear, make noise, may distract the people. And all that to distract the people, this WC, this is exactly that also. That to distract the people from reading Quran, from listening to Quran, do this. And how many people, Muslim people, we have got other programs on in Ramzan. Now the person hasn't got time for tilawat of Quran. They can't listen to Quran, they don't read Quran Sharif. Radio stations, they have got such competitions, and they say you have to listen the whole day. Then the answers you can get, if you only listen the whole day, when are you going to make tilawat? One radio station at the beginning, they made an announcement, people should phone in and tell us what benefit they got of listening to the radio. One person, young Hafiz up phone, he say, before the radio station, I should read 5 suparas a day. Now I don't read anything, whole day listening to radio. So even bayans are not supposed to be all the time also. Bayan is for encouragement. But leave time for amal. If you don't give time for amal, what is the use? You are all the time, which Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah gave such a beautiful example. If a person, now is going to be Maghrib time, he makes wudu, fresh wudu, he gives azan also. But he doesn't make namaz. Isha time again, fresh wudu, azan also. He doesn't. So all the time he's calling for deen, but he's not practicing on deen, he's not making namaz. How wrong isn't this? So all deeni efforts also, so much kitabs we are reading, so much bayans we are listening to, whole day radio, 24 hour, then when you going to make your namaz? When you, the actual object is ibadat, is your, what, the fulfilling Allah's commandments, your 5 times namaz, not that you're just rushing through your namaz, you take your, to try and improve your namaz, make it better all the time. You have time for your tilawat, you have time for zikr, you have time for dua, you have got time for all the other ibadat. This is what it, and bayan, the ladies in the time of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked for bayan, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave them bayan one time a week. They asked for more, he said no, it will be overtrading. We'll be overdoing it. Only so much. So this year, so all this time, these are today what electronics and with the computer. One in this Ramzan in the UK, one lady told her brother that listen, in a masjid there are bayans. He said YouTube got enough bayans. Whenever whose bayan you want from this, and what happens? 2 minutes this Maulana's bayan, 2 minutes another Maulana's bayan, 2 minutes another, finish hear him, now another. What is this? So this is not what is called deen. Deen is not like this at all. So all this that we just involved. Today one friend gave me the memory stick. He say, Hazrat's 200 bayans. I say, when will I hear one bayan also? 200 bayans you have to listen. Today the MP3, bayan after bayan. How many bayans in there? And if you got an MP3 player, you start again, you start from the start again. You start from the start again. The object is for some encouragement. So this is very important. Anyway, so we were here in Atikaf, etc. The women folk were at home. And now we go home with a holier than thou attitude. With our friends on Eid's day. The day after Eid we meet. You know, we went for Atikaf. And how, what an Atikaf we had. And it was like this. And how much salt and pepper we will add also to it. And we'll make it just to make them feel left out. That they had nothing whatsoever. You wasted your time. You should come for Atikaf there. We achieved. And in there you're trying to project yourself. What I became. I became a wali there. You won't say directly, I became a wali. But there the people became walis of Allah. Which means I also became a wali. So this subtle way also of looking down upon others. This is also very, very dangerous. So this attitude we mustn't have. That qawm naazi taqwa say, by having pride in your taqwa, naze taqwa se phir achi hai niyaze randi, that poor prostitute who is crying, ya Allah, I'm helpless, I got 5 children, I got no income, or whatever, nobody can justify his guna, but she's crying to Allah, forgive me, oh Allah. She's better than this person who got taqwa. He doesn't make one guna, but pride has come into his taqwa. She is better than him. Jahe zohad se phir achhi hai meri ruswai. Zohad that a person abstinence, nothing extra of dunya, small little house he's got, one room in there is his kitchen also, his bedroom also, one corner is his bathroom also, everything in there, and clothes, two pairs clothes, or just one pair, at night he washes the clothes, I'm going to wear the, what a zahid, he got nothing extra in this world, very very down to earth person, but that brought pride in him. This is, and another person committed a terrible guna, and he was humiliated and disgraced in the whole community, and now he's crying to Allah, Ya Allah, what did I do? How everyone is looking down upon me, they scorning at me, they spitting on me, what is my position? That person, in spite of that big guna, is crying now to Allah, he's better than this person who's got this zuhud in him. These are great qualities, taqwa, zuhud, all these qualities. And when a person has made lot of ibadat, and everything in its right way also, what ikhlas and everything. The example of it is like a person driving top of the range BM, Merc, etc., the latest model, and he's driving it at a speed, but he's driving it to Jahannam. How dangerous isn't that? And if you are driving it to Jannat, you're on the right road. Now, and you haven't got pride in you, and you are driving it to Jannat. Also, another from this example, if you are driving to Jahannam, and you are driving it, the faster you are driving with your Ferrari or whatever car, the more quicker you are reaching. And if you have to get stuck and somebody fix you, get fixed up again, you'd still be going to Jahannam. But if you're on the right road, and you get stuck there, you got a flat tire, you ran out of petrol, whatever it is, but you're on the right road. When you get moving, you eventually will reach to where you want to. The rabbit, it slept away. And if it runs fast also, and it's running to Jahannam, what is the use? And the tortoise, if it walks, carries on slowly, slowly also. Little, little, but it's on the right road, it will reach Jannah. So this is very important that after the roza, 30 rozas we kept. At work where we are, the others couldn't keep rozas. We made 4 khatams, we made 10 khatams, we made 2 khatams. The others, they say, we only made 2 suparas. We didn't even read Quran. That's wrong, of course. But if we feel we are better than them, then we are even worse with our 10 Quran's khatam. We made 60 khatams in Ramzan. During the day, one khatam. At night, one khatam. And just the thought also comes, I'm better than the others. They can't even read with tajweed. I read with tajweed. I made 50 khatam, 60 khatam. This will make you, so this must not come into a person. This holier than thou, this destroys a person. One beautiful instance, it's written, genuine instance of a buzurg who was going for Juma namaz. He prepared for Juma. He took his ghusl, clean clothes, everything. A person shines when he's ready for Juma. He took his bath and that. And on the way, there was a narrow bridge where only one person can cross at a time. Two cars are out of the question. Two people also cannot cross. And at the bottom, raw sewage, muck, urine, stool, filth, dirt. When he came to cross the bridge, a dog came from that side. Now the two couldn't cross together. Too narrow. So he made a sign to the dog to go down. Let the dog must pass through and come from the bottom through the muck. And he said, I'll go from on top. Allah gave tongue. Allah, yantiqu kulla shay. Whatever Allah wants to make speak, Allah makes it speak. The pebble spoke, the branch of the tree spoke, and everything. Three, how many children when they were just born, they spoke. And how they spoke also. In the time of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, when Zulaikha accused him, the little infant, infant who can't speak still spoke. إِنْ كَانَ قَمِيسُ قُدَّ مِنْ قُبُلٍ فَصَدَقَتْ وَهُوَ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ. What a proof, what a law, high law. She proved and solved the whole case. In the time of Isa alayhi salam, Ya Maryama, أَنَّا لَكَ هَذَا. Oh Maryam, from where you brought this baby? You from such a high family, pure family, and you not married, you brought this child? She made a sign for a charity lady. They said that you who can speak, you're not speaking. And who can't speak, you're telling that child will speak. But he spoke. And he gave a lecture. In qala inni abdullah. Atani al-kitab. Waja'alani nabiyya. Waja'alani mubarakan aynama kuntu. Wawsani bis salati wa zakah ma dumtu hayya. What a bayan he gave. A small baby. So this is that the small little baby. So anyway, so Allah can make whoever He wants to, whatever He wants to, He can make it speak. And on the day of Qiyamah, the parts of our body will speak. And it comes in the hadith, the first part to speak will be the right thigh. Which other thighs this thigh met with and touched, the thigh will be the first to speak. And then you will say to the parts of your body, Lima shahidtum alina. Why have you turned state witness? I did all this for your enjoyment. The lips I kissed for your enjoyment. With my hands I touched. I stole goods in whichever way I did it. White collar crime. Actual other crime. But I did it all for your enjoyment. They will say, Antaqana Allahu alladhi antaqa kulla shay. Allah Ta'ala gave us the command to speak, and He who whatever He gives. The tongue is not the speaker. The command of Allah is the speaker. So Allah, whatever He wants to, He gives that person goyai, the capability of speech. So that dog spoke and said that, no, you go from under and I'll go from the top. So he told, I took bath for Juma, I'm going for Juma namaz, and there isn't so much time, where I'm going to get park again and that. So the dog said, if you go from under and your feet get dirty with all the muck in your trouser, one lota, one jug of water, you can wash it and make it park. But if you send me from under and you think you are better than me, and you go from on top, the seven oceans' waters won't be able to make your heart pure of the pride that you have got. And a person who has got one iota of pride, one iota, one atom of pride, forget Jannat, he won't get the fragrance of Jannat. And the fragrance of Jannat goes out of Jannat to a distance of 500 years journey. Today, and measure it with our time. For us to understand, that's why the examples have been given to us. Today, how long does a journey take? You have to go someplace where 24 hours, 36 hours, you are in transit somewhere, the next plane is, after a week you catch the next plane again. It takes you 2 weeks to reach, 500 years, so far you won't come near Jannat also. Just because of what all your piety and what all your ibadat, what your observance of Ramzan properly and your whole life's ibadat and your how many hajj and how many whatever, but one bit of pride and everything will be destroyed. So, and the dog further said, I did a favor to tell you this, because last week one of my family, a small puppy, it was hungry, it was thirsty, it was cold, it was dirty. You ordered somebody to take the puppy, wash it, and look after it, give it food, etc. Because of that favor, I'm doing this favor to you and I'm informing you. With our pride, who's going to come in? Which good deed we got? What which good deed that Allah, that we so special? He was a buzurg. So Allah sent, made the arrangement for him to be informed. Who's going to inform us? So we must take lesson. This pride must not come into a person. It is a killer disease. And the illegitimate children of pride is anger. When a person who gets so angry, it is because of pride in that person. That I'm somebody, my wife, she doesn't do this for me. She don't realize I'm the husband. I'm the head of the, I'm the boss here. And this person doesn't realize who I am. All these things here destroy a person. Then this anger, and when anger overtakes a person, it is even worse than a person who drank liquor, and he is now in a drunken state. In anger, a person pulls out his revolver. He fires a shot. In anger, a person gives his wife 3 talaqs. And after that, he makes all the maulanas and muftis kafirs. That I want to get together with my wife again, mufti sahab is stopping it. He's blocking us. We want to make a home. You gave the talaq, it's like you didn't kill one time, shoot one time, 3 shots you fired your wife with. Not only dead, and not only deader, but you make her deadest. And now you go to mufti sahab, or you go to doctor, he must write a fatwa that give a birth certificate. When you killed her, and you killed her with 3 bullets, and you made her dead, deader and deadest, and now you want a birth certificate. You want nikah certificate. Mufti sahab, what is going to write? The talaq is done now. And you blame mufti sahab. You gave the talaq, but you blaming mufti sahab, he broke the home. They don't want to allow the house. And all the muftis, they don't know also. Then you go to other things. Now you'll run to Salafis for fatwa. Now you run to modernists for fatwa. And now you get estranged from the ulama and the barakat and the fuyuz of the ulama. And such people, Allahu Akbar, they just slide and slide. And also remember, when Allah's azab comes, it comes in two ways. Inshallah, we'll carry on tomorrow. SubhanAllah. Shalom.